Good morning, and welcome to the FirstGroup Q3 Interim Management Statement call. Today, I am pleased to present Nick Chavis and Rachel Borthwick. For this call, all participants will be in listen-only mode, and afterwards, there will be a question and answer session. I will now hand you over to the speakers. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us today on our quarter three interim management statement and trading update. This relates to the period from 1st of October to 31st of December 2011, and I'll hand you over to Nick Chavis.
Thank you, Rachel, and good morning, everyone. I'm going to take you through the main points in our third quarter trading update, and then I'll talk a little more about each division. As usual, please make a note of questions, and I will take these at the end. There are five key points I'd like to emphasise. Firstly, and most importantly, our businesses continue to trade in line with our expectations. Secondly, the student recovery plan remains on track with good momentum. Within UK Bus, we delivered revenue growth of 1.8%. Within that, however, we can see clear indications of a north-south divide in that rate of revenue growth. On cash generation, notwithstanding our current in-line trading performance, we now expect net cash generation to be in the region of £100 to £150 million, due to fewer disposals. What we are seeing is that the current economic and regulatory climate is affecting the realisation of appropriate value as well as the timing of disposals. The final point is that both Greyhound and UK Rail are delivering strong revenue growth in challenging economic climates, with UK Rail up by 8% and Greyhound increasing by 5.9%. If we now turn to the divisions, starting with First Student, I'm very pleased with the good progress we are making in executing the recovery plan. We remain on course with the plans that we presented at the half year and have maintained good momentum. In December, we completed a small infill acquisition in Quebec for 142 buses at a cost of $8.5 million. This is a good fit with our existing operations in the province. During the period, we saw little weather disruption, and we continue to expect operating margins for the second half to be broadly in line with the same period last year. Within our transit division, we traded in line with expectations, delivering growth in the shuttle market, particularly from Fort McMurray. At the same time, we continue to develop the good pipeline of opportunities, building on our strong reputation for delivery and generating efficiencies. As we expected, Greyhound saw revenue growth accelerate, with like-for-like revenue growth increased by 5.9% from 3.7% in H1. US revenue growth was particularly strong at 6.7%. The Canadian Greyhound business remains on course, returning to profit following the turnaround program that we implemented last year. Greyhound Express continues to perform well and attract new customers. Now operating for just over a year, Greyhound Express has seen a 20% increase in overall ridership, with more than 1.1 million customers riding the product. Later this month, Greyhound Express is expanding to new markets in Florida, including Jacksonville, Orlando, Tampa, and Miami. Express will now serve 45 destinations, including the whole of the East Coast, from Boston to Miami. Our UK bus division delivered a steady performance. Like-for-like passenger revenue growth was 1.8% in the period. A weak economic environment continues to present challenging trading conditions, particularly in Scotland and the north of England, where over 60% of our non-London revenue is generated. This has resulted in a significant difference in growth rates, with the southern operations based in the south, the southwest, Wales, the southeast, and the Midlands achieving a growth rate of 2.7% above that of our operations in the north. We continue to equip the business for future growth with our investment in new buses and our industry-leading smart ticketing, which will be rolled out over the coming year. We were pleased that the Competition Commission recommended no structural changes to the industry. However, they did recommend that the OFT is more cautious at examining bus company mergers. The UK Rail Division has shown further strong revenue growth, with like-for-like passenger revenue up by 8%. This included volume growth of 2.4%. All of our TOCs performed well. Working with the DfT, we continue to add capacity. On our first Capital Connect, the Thameslink route saw new 12-car trains operating on 4 services at peak times. When combined with timetable improvements, this delivered 3,200 much-needed extra seats. On the Great Northern route, we introduced another 2,000 extra weekday seats, over and above the almost 7,000 we added last year. And on First Great Western, we announced in conjunction with the DfT a capacity increase of 48 carriages across the network. Rail remains very much a growth industry. And we are pleased that the pre-qualifications for both Thameslink and Great Western franchises have been issued. Our team is ready, and we are looking forward to bidding for these, as well as progressing other new franchise opportunities. Turning now to cash. We remain focused on cash generation to support capital investment, debt reduction, and dividend growth of 7% in line with our current commitment. Notwithstanding that our business continues to trade in line with expectations, we now expect cash generation for the year to be in the range of £100 to £115 million, which we will use to reduce debt, further improving our debt ratios from last year. This is below our previous target due to fewer disposals. We have found that bidders are more cautious as a result of the deteriorating economic outlook and the current regulatory climate, following the Competition Commission's recommendations to the OFT that I mentioned earlier. If we can't get the right value, we won't sell the asset. So in conclusion, the group is growing revenues and continuing to trade in line with our expectations. We have a diverse set of operations which are fundamentally strong. We continue to address the challenges of the current weak economic conditions in certain markets, and the board remains confident that the group has good prospects to continue to deliver long-term value for shareholders. So thank you, and I'm now happy to take questions and pass you back to the operator.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. That's star and 1 to ask a question. And your first question comes from the line of Mark Manduca of Merrill Lynch. Please ask your question.
Hi there. Morning, Nick. Morning, Rachel.
Morning.
Rachel, thank you very much for your help this morning. Mark Manduca, head of transport at Merrill Lynch. number of factors that I'm looking to get straight, obviously, in my cash flow statement, and to a certain degree, I guess we'll talk offline afterwards. Nick, you made a comment, further improve our debt ratios from last year.
Yeah.
And if I'm taking a 24-month look at the business, I just wanted to ask one thing. I guess going into the quarter, the guidance was essentially $150 million of net cash generation. If you look back at H1, if you include Kings Flynn and Washington, D.C., calling it roughly $40 million, organically we were already looking at, I guess, at $110 million. Now after Q3, we go to an organic guidance from 110 to the 60 to 75 range, i.e. stripping out the $40 million roughly of H1 disposals. To what degree, I guess, the question is, in the next year, i.e. FY13, is next year a transition year, given the fact that we could see rail earnings, certainly on consensus models, the ones that I'm looking at here, down roughly about $40 million next year off the back of higher rail premiums? Now, I know you've obviously not given net cash guidance for next year,
yeah,
but just trying to take a slightly longer-term view on your point about further improve our debt ratios.
Okay, Mark. Well, I mean, the disposals in the first half of the year, I think the net proceeds is probably a bit lower than you're coming out with, because the Washington, D.C. was, what, 47 million dollars.
Yeah.
So I would be in the 20s in terms of my net proceeds for the first half of the year. I think we have flagged very much that next year is a transition year. Obviously, we've got the change in the rail portfolio going through, and we have indicated that may slow our delevering process for 1 year while we go transition through that. I think the time to give more guidance on that is really when we finish going through our budgeting process. So that probably will be at the March update, where we'll be in a better position to give you further update on that.
Understood. So, sorry, Nick. I was taking the $5.5 million from the proceeds from sales, page 14 of the H1 presentation, and then the $47 million that you mentioned, so roughly £30 million. So just coming to around 35, which is why I said 40.
Yeah, it's about I've got about 30, because we've got a few other things going back the other way. So, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's fine.
And just a follow-up question, I guess, on CapEx. How should we be thinking about net CapEx this year? And also going forward next year, given the age of the fleet?
Well, I think going forward, given the age of the fleet, we've talked before about around about $300 million as a CapEx figure for this business going forward. In terms of this year, I think we're talking around about sort of 270, 280 this year. Obviously, there's going to be a few disposals which will probably come against that we talked to you talked about earlier.
So, sorry, the 280 includes the Washington, D.C. terminal sale or not?
No, it doesn't include the Washington terminal.
Got it.
D.C.
Okay. Thank you very much for that.
Okay.
Your next question comes from the line of Jamie Robertson of Morgan Stanley. Please ask your question.
Morning, Nick. Two questions, if I may. The first is just on school bus. Obviously, you've had a good 3 or 4 months visibility on the new school year. If we looked at the new school year in isolation at First Group, I just wondered if you can give any colour in terms of the sort of revenue growth or revenue declines you may or may not be seeing. I think we're sort of conscious that it was probably a largely neutral to possibly slightly down year in terms of the outcome of the bid season, sort of net wins and net losses. I wondered whether revenue per bus within whatever you tell us on colour on revenue growth was sort of up or down, perhaps linked to fuel escalator clauses and what have you. So any colour there would be good. And secondly, it was actually a similar question to Mark's on cash, but I'll sort of rephrase it a bit. I mean, if we look at the 100 to 115 that you've guided today, we take out disposals, let's say, of $30 million for Washington. So, we're looking at, let's say, $80 million plus of cash generation. If we think about that going forward and we ignore noise around winning or not retaining, Great Western, then is that a sensible cash generation figure for First Group going forward, or does a step up in CapEx mean we're looking at something lower than that going forward? Thanks.
Okay, well, if I take the school bus issue first, I mean, I think as we indicated, you know, revenue is broadly flat, and you know, the contract revenue is largely set now, so that's where we are trading out. I mean, giving you a little bit more colour in terms of things like charter, you know, we're continuing to see some good progress in outside charter, and if you looked at, you know, outside charter per bus, outside charter, I can see numbers sort of almost double-digit growth in outside charter per bus. So I think we're encouraged by that. It's obviously a small part of the business, but we are encouraged by that. In terms of, you know, where we are with cash, I think what you've got to also remember this year in terms of cash, we do have the cash going out in terms of the provision that we made for the U.S. restructuring this year. So that's going to be, you know, £20-30 million going out this year, which is not an ongoing cost for us when we're looking at our cash generation. But again, I think, as I said earlier, in terms of cash generation guidance, we'll be in a better position to tell you more about that in March.
Thanks, Nick. Just one follow-up then. Is there some more to come out against the provision you took in fiscal 11 in fiscal 13, or will that be it this year?
The only thing that will affect next year will be the Great Western provision. The US provision will be exhausted.
Understood. Thanks.
Your next question comes from Jeff Van Claveren of Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Oh, morning, Nick. Morning, Rachel.
Morning.
Morning.
Hi.
On US student, I mean, I realize you're keeping the H2 margin guidance the same, but I guess in the back of my mind, I'm kind of thinking that, you know, if you had a better start to the year than last year and that there's no snow impact or no weather impact, that maybe, you know, slightly disappointing that you're not seeing higher margins in H2 this year. That's sort of one question. And also, I didn't quite get, are you still guiding to first student revenues in H2 being slightly down? I think the previous guidance was 1-2%. And then just the last question, can you shed any light on the legal dispute between Bolt Bus and Megabus? Thank you.
Sure. Okay. Well, if we take the revenues, yes, we are still guiding revenues slightly down for the second half of the year. I don't think we're disappointed in student at all. I think we're pleased it's going on plan. And in terms of the weather, I mean, we're highlighting there hasn't been any change, you know, any adverse effect from that at the moment. But clearly, the winter's still got a long way to run. And I think as we get through January and February, we'll see where we end up on that. In terms of the legal dispute, I mean, I assume you're referring to the Megabus issue between sort of Newark and Boston, isn't it, I think? And that relates to a joint agreement that we have, which is approved by the Surface
Transportation
Board, about whether it's a flow that you can split or that you can't split. And this was raised originally by Stagecoach back in July time, and the Surface Transportation Board have already ruled on it once and ruled in our favour, because we think they're just trying to stop competition. So as far as we're concerned, you know, we're on the right side of that, and we've already had, you know, that confirmed by the STB.
Okay, great. That's clear. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Edward Stanford of Oriel. Please ask your question.
Good morning, everybody. Good
morning.
Hello. Could I just, a couple of questions. First of all, just coming back to the cash flow, which I'm still trying to get the math straight in my head, and correct me if any of this is wrong, but my understanding was at the start of the year that 150 million of cash generation, about 50 million was from disposals, of which you've done about 30. Are we to read into what you've said, therefore, actually implied a deterioration in the organic cash flow, or am I missing something? And secondly, should we read anything into the fact that like-for-like revenue growth in rail is marginally lower than it was in the first half?
Okay. No, we don't see a change in organic cash flow. I mean, obviously, I'm now in post, and I've had a good look through the cash flow. And, you know, the cash flow included both some business disposals in the UK and some property disposals in the US. And that may be where the differences in your numbers Edward. In terms of the like-for-like revenue growth in rail, now obviously it's come off slightly, but we're still, you know, we're not seeing a trend going downwards over the quarter. Season ticket renewals are still going well and are up quite a lot on last year at the moment. So we're not reading anything into it from our experience. Is that okay?
Sorry, yes, sorry, just following up on the cash flow, if I may. So the original expectation of 100 million of organic cash flow wasn't the right, I'd have misinterpreted that, had I?
Well, I think there's obviously a number of bits within there, and I don't know quite the guidance that you got there, Edward, so...
Okay. Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Joe Thomas of HSBC. Please go ahead.
Good morning. A couple of questions, please. Firstly, just again returning to the cash issue, are there any incremental disposals that you're expecting now before the end of the year that are still included within this 115 number that you've given earlier on today? And secondly, on First Student, when are you going to be in a position to give us a clear turnaround plan there? I'm just conscious that you are committing to a double-digit margin, but we don't yet have the roadmap for getting back up to that number. Will that be at the year end, or are you hoping to have something before that? Then finally, in transit, you've not given a revenue number in today's statement or a growth number. Can you give an overall growth number for that business as a whole, please?
Yeah, sure. Okay. Well, if we start with the student number and the turnaround, I mean, I think we have given fairly much a good indication of what we're doing there in terms of our turnaround plan. In terms of a roadmap of the exact timings, I'm sure we'll be giving more colour on that when we get to the year-end position. So I think that's the right time to cover that. In terms of transit splits, we never particularly give quarterly transit splits for growths for all the revenues in transit, but the revenue continues, you know, in line with expectation. I mean, our shuttle revenue, I know it's a relatively small part of the business, but that's probably up, probably something around about 20%, I would have thought. So I think that's where we would be with that.
Disposals.
I think where we are with disposals, and we're hopeful for having some more bits and pieces, but there's very little there built in to our, you know, if we get to the top end of the range, we might have something in there, but... outside of that, we wouldn't.
So we're hopeful, but we don't necessarily expect.
Okay, so the top end of the range of guidance that you've given today, so if you get to 115 million, that's effectively including another 15 million of disposals.
Well, no, probably a bit less than that.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
The very small bits and pieces, you're saying.
Yeah, we've got a few. We've got, you know, we had one slightly more substantial thing that we thought might get away, and we think that's probably less likely to get away now. So we've got a few small bits and pieces, the odd piece of business here or there, which may or may not get through.
Okay, thanks. And just sort of coming back to this student issue, when you say that you'll be in a position to give some more colour on the turnaround, which is you know, we have the first, obviously, $65 million of cost savings. We don't have any more on top of that yet. When you say you'll be in a position to give it at the year end, do you mean by the March trading update, or are you talking about the full year results?
Well, I think normally we'd talk about the full year results would be the right time when we've got Tim there to take you through further progress. I mean, I think, you know, this is a comprehensive program. We're well on course with it. Everything is moving in the right direction, as we said. Really, there's very little change from what we said back at the November results when we gave, a lot of colour around the issues that we were addressing and how we were going about addressing them. So.
And we said, if you remember, Joe, we would seek to stabilise in this year, which is, and we've given you some colour on that and given you confidence around margins in the second half as we see it, and that we would then look to build margin from that point on. So as Nick says, we will lay out a sort of further roadmap of that as we move through. But I think we've given you quite a lot of colour around the sorts of initiatives that are taking place.
Okay, thanks.
Your next question comes from Paul Hickman of Peel Hunt. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Nick. Morning, Rachel. It's a follow-up question on the disposals point. Really, just wanted to understand, you mentioned two issues, really. One was a reduction in expectation on prices that you were offered for business as a result of economic factors, and secondly, of course, the Competition Commission. Are those two separate factors, or are they combined, really, in the way you were talking about it? And you mentioned, I think, some U.S. disposals as well, which presumably would not be affected by the Competition Commission. Really, what I'm trying to understand better is whether there are delays here that could result in some deals coming through next year. I wonder if you could give me some help on that.
Yeah, because just for clarity, the U.S. disposals was property disposals, not business disposals.
Right.
It's exactly the point is really the economic outlook is affecting the value that we're getting. And, you know, we're having a lot. We've not had a lot of interest, but we've had a lot of interest. But in terms, I think, of buyers getting their boards to actually close out and commit cash, that's proving a little bit harder than maybe some of the guys working on the bids on the other side thought.
Yeah.
And secondly, the Competition Commission, it is, as you say, it's a delay thing. So people are a little bit more cautious, but they're looking for maybe a little bit more in terms of getting guidance from the OFT, rather than before they would probably have just have progressed forward straight away on a relatively small part of the business.
So would you say it would be justifiable for us to assume that maybe some part of the reduction that you've announced today could come back in next year?
I think some of the small ones may. I think the largest share I'm not hopeful of.
Yeah. Thanks.
Your next question comes from Peter Hyde of Liberum. Please ask your question.
Hello, Peter.
The first one is, can I just check where you are on working capital? I mean, you talked about the fact that 9 months ago you said you'd improve working capital by 20 to 30 million this year. Is that still the case?
I think the working capital improvement will be broadly around that, maybe a little bit below that. But of course, we made that compares with where we made sort of 70, 80 million working capital the year before. So those actions we've kept in place, and those actions could clearly have a one-time effect on your cash flow.
But you were saying that you would incrementally improve it by 20 to 30 million. What are you now saying?
We continue to push. I mean, there's a number of initiatives that we're pushing through the business, which are sort of more like sort of second-tier stage improvements. I don't think it will be quite as high as 30 million, but we're certainly got a number, targeting a number around about 20 million.
Okay. And then sort of secondly, can I just sort of check on the sort of tax paid? That's still going to be around 25 million this year.
I think that sounds a little bit on the high side. I think our tax paid this year probably be a bit below that.
Cash tax.
Yeah. Okay. And in terms of this kind of reduction, what are you doing in terms of the change in the dollar rate? Because obviously, I must admit, I haven't looked at the 31st of March 2011, but I'm assuming that you're going to be translating at a worse rate your dollar-denominated debt this year. Does this take into account any of that?
Well, no, we've done our numbers around about 1.6 at the moment. Obviously, it's slightly lower at the moment, but it's been relatively relatively bobbing around that number. So that's where our numbers are based at the moment.
Okay, so there will obviously be an impact because it's at 1.53 at the moment.
Yeah, it will be. I mean, it was what 1.5.
And how much dollar denominated? How much dollar denominated debt have you got?
Yeah, quite a lot of it. It's about I think it's 1.7. Yeah.
Sorry, $1 billion. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, and then sort of two final questions, really. Oh, sorry, three final questions, all to do with cash flow. Firstly, acquisitions. I'm right in thinking the only acquisition you've made is this kind of $8 million infill acquisition that you talked about in First Student. Is that right?
That's
for the second
correct.
Half?
Yeah, that's correct.
And then sort of in terms of cash cost restructuring, I've just kind of heard, I think you said it's going to be over $20
million. Yes.
Sorry, you also on that said that First Great Western, the impact on cash flow in 13, I thought that was completely non-cash. I thought it was accelerated depreciation when you took the exceptional.
Yeah,
is there a cash impact from First Great Western in 13?
No, the difference is where you would be in terms of your EBITDA.
Okay, so. Yeah. Yeah, okay, so there's no cash impact of the exceptionals at First Great Western.
Exactly.
And then, sorry, the final question is depreciation in UK Rail. What's the profile of depreciation in UK Rail coming off? Because obviously last year there was like £57 million worth of depreciation in UK Rail. And as your rail contracts roll off, that's quite clearly going to come down. And I must admit, it's obviously quite a large number because I must admit I'm not even entirely sure what it relates to, given that it's quite an asset-free business. But anyway, anything colour on that and profile of coming off, and it would be helpful.
Well, I don't have the profile of UK Rail depreciation on me. I think it's around about $70 million this year.
Yeah.
It relates to the largest element of that is the heavy maintenance cost, which, you know, in line with the correct accounting, we have to capitalise and have done that for many years. And obviously it builds up a bit as we get towards the end because the amount of period of time that we have to capitalise those over is less.
Okay, so but sort of, I mean, well, quite clearly we should expect that to roll off as, in inverted commas, all your franchises end.
Well, if you assume we don't get any new franchises, yes.
Yeah.
You know, as we said before, you know, next year is a transition year. We've still got franchises. We still have ScotRail running on, and we still have the extension of TPE, which we start in January.
Sure. So 13 depreciation is going to be very similar to 12 depreciation, isn't it? And then it starts rolling off if you don't win any more franchises.
Well, obviously, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. All right, okay, thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Damien Brewer of Royal Bank of Canada. Please ask your question.
Yes, good morning, everybody, from Toronto. Just some questions from me. First of all, going back to the operating performance of the business, could you give us some idea of what proportion Greyhound Express is now, and with the recent expansions, what you target it to be, and sort of how profitable or not that business is, given it's still relatively early life cycle? Then secondly, on the school bus, I appreciate the industry is trying to prevent contracts going out for bid to start with, so could you give us some idea or feeling of how much has gone out for bid versus a normal year and whether that's more or less that we've seen now, we're sort of back into the new school year, and whether your retention rate still on what has gone to bid have been above 90%. And then coming back to the cash flow and debt issue, just one thing I just want to be clear is that marginal change, does it make any difference to any covenants or triggers you have on your debt? And really, you sound quite sort of conservative on the scope for any of the major disposals to come back in a future year. Is it just competition issues that drive that? Or are you taking a pretty conservative view on the economy? And I guess, sorry to add one more, but just the last question about the foreign exchange. And I assume if you know you go from $1.60 to pound to $1.50 something, not only does that have a debt translation impact, but that'll obviously increase the EBITDA that's set against the debt from your US dollar and effectively Canadian dollar denominated businesses as well.
Okay, well that was a lot there, wasn't it? I mean, in terms of Greyhound Express, you know, the expansion is only just happening now, so I can't really comment on how that's doing. I mean, we've indicated before it's around about 10% of the business, so this is really the first move away from that, of expanding it. So I think we are, you know, this is still a transition process. These routes are still growing. What we've seen so far, it's doing very well. It's generating revenue, you know, and we'll look to raise the yields as we go through. So, you know, I think probably we would be looking to raise it to 20-odd% of the business at the moment. That's probably our target. In terms of school bus contracts, it is very early in the bid season. So I think it, at the moment we see it's relatively normal. I would say the ones that have been out to bid, the encouraging thing I think we see, it's been quite a sensible market. So we have, you know, we have seen bids coming in from ourselves and from other, from our competitors, acting normally and professionally in the market, a bit differently to how it maybe was 2 years ago when there was a lot of people sort of tending to try and undercut with some silly margins. In terms of the cash flow, covenants and things like that, this is such a small change, it doesn't really affect the covenants at all. We don't anticipate it having any effect on our ratings positions with Fitch and S&P. In terms of the disposals, I think what we were trying to be here was a bit opportunistic in terms of, you know, trying to realise some cash. And if that opportunity isn't quite there, you know, I don't think we need to do these things. So we'll wait and we'll sit on those until the right time. If we, you know, these are assets that we've, you know, decided maybe aren't core to us or not areas where we particularly see areas of growth in terms of developing the business. And obviously, as you say, in terms of the exchange rate, you know, if it comes to come down to 150, then yeah, obviously we'll make more revenue and more EBITDA on the translation. But I think generally when we come round to banks and things like that and covenants and things like that, they look at the average rates, and that's really more how we're measured.
Okay, thank you. Can I just circle back on just a couple of things? Again, Greyhound Express, you know, Greyhound overall, I think, is sort of appears to be heading towards a sort of 8-ish% margin or so. On a sort of medium-term view, as the Greyhound Express business matures, in your own business plans, what kind of target margin do you have for that business? Is it close to the 20% that Megabus's mature businesses have, or does that diversity and greater size of Greyhound Express mean that's likely to be lower? And then again, circling back on the school bus, the more rational pricing you've seen, just to be clear, that's coming from the effects of competition or the fact that, if you like, the sort of second derivative of austerity effects in North America in general seems to be slowing down and being a slightly better environment. So is it competition or is it your contractors that are driving that?
Okay. Well, in terms of margins, you know, I think the business of our scale, we don't anticipate running a business of our scale at 20% margins. I think we indicated at the half year that, you know, that we see the potential for double-digit margins within that. In terms of student and pricing, I think both things there. I mean, clearly we've seen that our competitors are bidding rationally, which I think is good, and that's encouraging. But also, you know, we've seen instances where some of the school boards maybe have had further budget cuts and they haven't been looking to pass that through their transportation system. So they're, you know, some of these places are able to cover that from other opportunities within their budget. So overall, I think that's encouraging. One, that they're not looking to pass them on, and two, that potentially some of these school boards have got some contingency.
Okay, clear. Thank you.
Your next question comes from Geralco of Espirito Santo. Please go ahead.
Morning, all. A few questions. Going back to the issue of exchange rates, can you firstly clarify that the revised net debt or, you know, net cash generation target is excluding any exchange rate benefit, impacts? And also, can you outline what your P&L exposure is to the dollar? Obviously, there's a fuel exposure, the dollar fuel bill exposure, as well as dollar earnings. Secondly, can you just clarify where you are on, or what adjustment we need to make in the cash flow for the First Great Western provision going into next year? And finally, on rail also, can you indicate what you think the potential working capital movements would be if you were to lose First Great Western and or First Capital Connect? Thanks.
Okay. I mean, the exchange rates and the net debt, you know, I confirmed that the net debt generation we're talking about is all pre-FX. So we haven't included anything in there for that. In terms of the fuel dollar exposure, I mean, we can take you through that outside the absolute numbers, but in principle, what we have, and it's been a position that we've had here for
many years,
is that the dollar earnings that we generate are offset broadly from a P&L point of view by the dollar fuel purchases that we make in the UK and the dollar denominated interest that we pay. So this business, although operates, you know, 50% of the business in the US, has very little exposure from a P&L point of view to the dollar. Yeah, go on.
Are you still happy that is still the case despite the move in US profitability over the past few years and the upwards move in the fuel bill?
Yeah, no, definitely I am, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's not a, you know, and that's part of why we structured the debt into dollars to do that. You know, and we keep an eye on that. It fluctuates up and down a little bit, you know, depending on the fuel price or whatever, but yeah, no, we're confident of that.
Okay, sorry.
In terms of the First Great Western bit, I mean, we can take you through that offline. I haven't got all the numbers here on me, but obviously, you know, as Jeff talked you through back in March, there's an effect on that, and that will roll out over next year as that disappears. In terms of the working, what was the last one? The
Working capital movement if you were to lose First Great Western First Capital Connect.
Again, I haven't got the exact numbers on me. I think it's about 60 million.
Yes, it's about 60 and thereabouts. So why don't we come back to you on that, Gerald?
Okay, that's fine.
Broadly 60, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks very much.
Your next question comes from the line of John Lawson of Investec. Please ask your question.
Good morning. I've got two or three questions. Just wondered whether on fuel, whether you could give us a little brief update on where you're on hedging at this moment in time.
Yeah. Oh, okay. We've done a little bit more from the half year. Well, from November. It wasn't the half year. It was November, wasn't it? So for 12/13 in the UK, I think we're 75% hedged. And that's a. I don't know what indicator you look at, John.
Well, I prefer pence per litre, but you give us dollars.
Around about 48 pence. And for the US, we're about 53% at about 75, 76 cents. And then for 13/14, the UK is about 33%. Again, just under 50 pence a litre. And for North America, we're 26%, about 77 cents a litre.
77, right. Okay, fine. And could you just talk a little bit about the sort of UK bus? We've obviously the north part of the country. I'm right in saying you said the south, including the Midlands and South Wales, et cetera, grew at 2.7% passenger revenue growth, so ergo the north was sort of just below 1%. I just wondered sort of if there's any sort of indications going forward what your thinking might be. I mean, could that drop even further to sort of maybe zero growth or negative in the north, and perhaps elaborate a little bit on your plans? I guess a large acquisition you may have been referring to might have been in the north, but I might be only speculating on that. I just wonder whether you could talk a little bit about that.
Oh, but there wasn't a large acquisition. It was a slightly large disposal.
Disposal.
Yeah. I don't think we particularly see this ratio deteriorating, and I think it's what we tried to highlight at the half year, and we're just trying to give you a little bit more colour on it. You know, the difference for quarter three was about 2.7, and the difference for the first half was about 2.6. So it is a trend that we saw, and when we flagged about the tough economic headwinds that we were facing in terms of the bus business, this was really what we were alluding to. So we don't see it materially moving off there, but you know, that's where we see the business at the moment.
Right, and anything you're going to be doing to try and improve it, or how, or what can you do?
Yeah, no, we've got lots of initiatives going on. You know, the bus team there are working hard. We've tried some innovative things. You know, we've done a little bit more TV marketing. We've tried. We're clearly concentrating on making sure the product is good quality. In terms of, you know, punctuality, we're checking out the routes. I mean, I think what you may see, there may be some changes to route, to some of the mileage, to some of the routes. We'll be doing some price activity. The whole gambit we're constantly, you know, looking at.
Right, and just on the sort of disposal, sorry, I said acquisition before, on the disposal, would I be right in thinking perhaps that was in a Northern Bus type operation, or am I sort of speculating too much?
No, you wouldn't be right, no.
Okay, fine, okay. Right, okay. I won't probe any more unless you want to...
We'll talk about things, because obviously we've got staff, and it's not very motivational for us to put a for sale flag on top of someone, and also there was always a possibility we might not sell it.
Okay, fine. And one final question was just on Canada and Greyhound. Where are we in the sort of the profit versus loss situation now?
Well, I think we made good progress there in terms of Canada. And we would see it being, you know, as I said in the statement, being profitable this year.
Right, right. So that's for the year overall, or at the year end?
No, for the year overall, I would anticipate Canada will be profitable.
Right.
So that's, okay. That's a good turnaround.
Okay, fine. Well, we'll look to see what the number is. Thank you very much.
Your next question comes from Al Cattermole of JP Morgan. Please ask your question.
Hi there. I had a question on the credit rating. Do you have any comments on the negative outlook at Fitch? And, you know, that's a BBB flat. How committed are you to that rating? Or would you be happy just to drop down to the low BBB like you've got the S&P rating and like some of your competitors run?
Well, I think obviously we want our ratings to be as high as we can. And typically Fitch has run at a slightly higher than the S&P rating, but they look at it in a slightly different way. Their metrics are slightly different. I think we were disappointed when they gave us a negative outlook, but that's very much where they see the industry and they take a view on it. So one of our other competitors, they also rank at the same rating as that, with a negative outlook.
Sure. I mean, is there any operational benefit to having the BBB flat? Does it make any of your, short-term loans or anything, or your fuel hedging, any cheaper?
No, I think that the key thing for us really is having the investment grade rating, and it's more when we go into the long-term capital markets, you know, on our bond portfolio. That obviously helps. The banks, again, you know, they're looking at their own ratios. I think it's a good indicator, but there's no direct correlation.
Okay, great. And then just a quick question on your financing. You've got the April 2013 bond, £400 million, I think. You know, how far ahead do you like to refinance these things? And, you know, had you considered looking for US dollar capital markets debt for help with your US business financing?
Well, I think clearly, as part of the work that we're doing on the budget for next year, and part of, you know, a capital review, which we look at periodically, we're looking at our options on that. US dollar is always an option, because historically we have, you know, we've taken sterling debt and swapped it into dollars. I think we'll look at, you know, well, not we will look, we are looking at a number of options and what the best way is to secure our capital going forward. But we've got good liquidity at the moment, and we've got, you know, good terms, so we're not under any desperate pressure to do anything.
Could you refinance that bond? You know, could you cover that maturity without having to issue another bond, you know, in case the market's closed for new issuance?
Well,
do you have enough cash to pay that down?
Clearly, if you look at our headroom, I think it was about £500-600 million. So we've got a lot of capacity in the headroom, but inevitably, you keep looking for what's the most opportune thing to do, don't you?
Okay, that's great. Thanks a lot for your help.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone. And your next question comes from Edward Stanford of Oriel. Please go ahead.
Hi, just a follow-up question of clarification, if I may, on the UK bus side. You mentioned the difference between the north-south, I think from memory, was 2.7%. Is that the differential? And if so, what was the actual underlying number? Or is that the growth rate of the south?
No, that was the differential. So as one of the callers said earlier, the north, the way it works out, the north is just below 1%, and the south is around about 3.7, somewhere around that figure.
Thanks very much.
Okay.
Your next question comes from Jamie Robottom of Morgan Stanley. Please ask your question.
Hi again. Just three very quick follow-ups. Nick, the student exceptional taken last year was, I think, about £39.5 million. Can you just confirm it? Roughly half of that was utilised last year and half this year, or maybe a little bit more this year. And of the part utilised this year, can you just give us a quick reminder on the sorts of things that has been spent on? And then the other two, could you just confirm when there was the discussion on FX, is it £1.6 billion or $1.6 billion worth of US dollar debt? And thirdly and finally, Damien mentioned covenants. I was just looking for a reminder across your revolving credit facility and bilateral loans, etc., roughly where would lie any covenants that could trigger higher interest charges? Are we talking 3x net debt to EBITDA, or maybe 3.5x? And are those covenants based on including or excluding the rail cash? Thanks.
Right, okay. I mean, student exceptions, I think we took you through those last year. It is a little bit more being spent this year, but it's across a number of things that we took you through. That was in terms of buses, moving on some buses. It was also in terms of, we've taken out sort of £16 million worth of overhead cost within there. So that's come out as well. In terms of FX. What was your question on FX again? Sorry.
It was just. I wondered if it was $2.5 billion of US dollar debt that translates to 1.6.
It is sterling. I should have corrected that.
Yeah. Good.
Sterling.
Okay.
$1.6 billion of sterling.
What? Yeah. £1.6 billion of
sterling.
Yeah.
It's 2. Something dollars.
About two. Yeah. Fine.
Yeah.
And thirdly, was covenants.
Yeah. Well, in terms of the covenants, no, we're some way off the covenants. I mean, we have a grid like anyone else, but I mean, net debt to EBITDA, we'd have to get up over 3x before it started to move, and to breach the covenant we'd have to be at something like 3.5x. So we're miles away from breaching any of those covenants.
Understood.
Yeah,
thanks.
There are no further questions at this time. Please continue.
Okay, everybody, thank you for joining us today. If there are no further questions, we'll end the call here. And just to say, if there's any follow-up, then please don't hesitate to get in touch. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.